Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, September the 20th is the federal election, and you're probably wondering, what are you going to do on September the 20th when all the election
votes? Sit around in your PJs, eat peanut butter straight from the jar.
So our suggestion is that rather than watching all the news channels and how they cover it, you can join us at CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, where with an embedded YouTube video, we will be doing our own live coverage as the votes roll in and the counts are done.
And we've got thousands of listeners on our podcast, and about 6 people actually engage with us on a regular basis. So you can be one of those 6 watching us talk live on the air.
Imagine hanging out with us for a few hours on YouTube Live while the results roll in. It's going to be a wonderful time. You'll get to know us better, and you'll see us just struggle to find things to talk about while the votes are counted.
I don't. And most of these elections end in the wee hours of the morning. So are we going to be doing this until 3 a.m.?
As long as it takes.
Jesus Christ. I will be well caffeinated.
I'm going to get a pizza. You can watch me eat pizza. It'll be wonderful.
Because I'm keto. Right. I'll get chicken. Oh my God, I'm getting chicken.
We'll get chicken.
I'm going to have greasy fingers.
And we'll do a podcast with greasy fingers.
Greasy fingers, chicken and cheese, baby.
The first time you ever watch an election where the people talking about the election have got greasy chicken fingers. That you know of, at least. So anyway, join us September the 20th, 8 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time we kick off, which is 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and earlier in the day if you live out west.
Right.
I don't know the exact time zones. What do you mean in Canada?
I don't know,
3 years.
Something, yeah. But just remember, go to our website. If you're like, I want to see the thing doing the live stuff, just go to our website.
CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com. It's on the front page. There's a holding screen for you ready to click on it, and we are rearing to go, and there'll be chicken.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Do you want to do the intro for this one?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, golly gee. I don't know if I'm ready for that sort of responsibility.
Okay. Hi.
No, I can do it.
Go on then, I believe
okay.
in you. Okay. But I want to watch you fail.
I know. This is why do we have this sort of relationship? Okay, everyone thinks we're friends. Okay, and I just every episode I end up running home crying. Welcome to Canadian Mama. I can't fucking do it.
Was that just an excuse to get some ASMR in there?
There we go.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. I'm Jesse, and this is Reese.
I'm the Reese.
You're the Reese?
Just Reese, it's fine. No, that's enough.
The Reese.
You probably heard our ad about the 20th for the live stream.
Yeah, baby.
So just write it down. And be
there. If you want to sponsor us, whoever you are, if you own a company of any shape or form, we will talk about your product on the air.
Just give us at least five of them for free.
We are cheap and we are easily bought.
Yeah, exactly. Literally no shame.
None whatsoever.
And you don't even have to pay us with money. You could just pay us with food or product.
We'd like money, but we will also accept food and or product.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Food is a product, so.
I suppose.
Whether you can eat it or not, we'll try and eat it.
I mean, Reese will...
Jesse, small talk.
I love our relationship.
How are you?
He'll call me up just in the random, like an hour in the afternoon. I'll pick up hello. He's like, small talk time. And then he just starts talking at me.
Yeah. I'm you should hear my pillow talk.
Does it start by you saying pillow talk?
Always, yeah.
I don't know. What's going on with you, Reese?
I finished some landscaping in my garden, and then my back hurt.
Are you getting old?
I am. 37-year-old back hurt. 37.
It's not old, man.
I'm getting old. Yeah, I've got grey hair. I've got a mole I'm worried about. Pretty much, I should just retire now. Enjoy the golden years.
Whenever I feel old, I may have mentioned this before. Whenever I feel old,
you do something irresponsible.
No, I think of my stepfather, Jim, Pappy J, as I call him.
He's a really nice man.
He reminisces about. He's a really nice man. He's a wonderful man. He reminisces about his 70s, about being in his 70s.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, that was a good decade. Yeah, I really miss my 70s. And I'm like, oh, wow. So, okay, that makes me feel quite
imagine
youthful.
Being so old that you look back on your 70s like it was a distant thing. But being full of happy memories and joy, that's a good life.
Right? He's turning 90 this January. And
that's amazing.
I'm hoping to have
a big
shindig.
Big party?
Oh, yeah.
You should.
Dancing girls.
Indoor fireworks.
Yeah. Those are his favorite kind.
The laser show?
Yeah.
Some kind of laser show?
Lots of cats. Like cats. In little a blender. Cat cannon. Not a blender. Jesus, man. What's wrong with you? Holy shit. I was going to say like cat cannons that just fire
also
cats
a cannon,
across
a cannon's fine. You can fire them up a cannon.
You can fire
a cannon.
Yeah, but then
I didn't say turn a blender on.
Oh my God, man. That was inferred. You are...
What kind of a sicko puts a cat in a blender and then turns it on? It makes a cute picture. Or a threatening one. But that's it.
There is something wrong with your brain.
And don't injure animals. They're lovely. Especially my puppy. She's great.
Are you asking our audience members to not specifically injure your puppy because she's great?
Animals in general.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, man. I don't feel like we should have to remind our audience members to not put small creatures into blenders and turn it on, man. That's just weird and gross.
I would rather play it safe.
Okay, if we have an audience member who needs to be reminded of this.
They might be like, I'm 50-50.
Yeah,
and then
swing vote. Yeah.
We might push them over. It's fine. It's worth it. There's lots of other things you shouldn't do.
Yeah,
you shouldn't drive your car into a solid concrete pillar. If you were thinking of doing that, don't do it. Don't... I don't know.
I mean, your mind invented this horrific scenario.
Don't drink bleach.
That's a good one, too. Don't drink bleach while driving your car into a solid brick wall.
Yeah. Don't stare at the sun.
Like Trump.
Like Trump did,
eclipse.
Look at the eclipse. Look at the eclipse.
Don't stab
yourself. In charge of the nuclear weapons. Let's look at the sun. Anyway, let's talk about. You remember we had a very interesting episode about the semen retention army general.
Yeah,
I found another. The BBC party is a far right party. They're anti-vax. They're anti-immigration. They're anti I don't know, just anti-life. I think they're essentially a death cult.
Ironically, I think they're probably pro-life, are they not?
I don't know.
Like, they would be against abortion. They would be against choice.
Think of something, think of the nice thing to do, and they'll be against the nice thing to do in any situation.
Oh, that's a really good way of putting it. Oh,
yeah,
I like that.
Think about the nice thing to do in any situation, and they want people to not do those nice things.
That would be a really remarkable...
Like, supporting someone or welcoming someone.
You know what? Oh, my God. Okay, I remember being in debate class in high school when I was living in Bonavista, Newfoundland, which really has nothing to do with the story. It was just an interesting tidbit of information.
It's a great name for a place as well. Bonavista. It feels like there should be a...
It means beautiful view.
No.
Actually, yeah, and it was beautiful. It's some of the greatest sunsets in the world. But anyway, I was in debate class, and it's just neat how they give you a topic and you have to, they're like, okay, you are for this topic or against this topic, and you have to find logical reasons to be either for or against it, no matter how you personally feel about it. And I think it would be fascinating to have, to bring in some of not productive, but fascinating to bring in some of the things that the PPC believes in and give them to someone in a debate class. And it's like, okay, you have to now argue in favor of, anti-immigration
hate,
laws,
of hate,
and stuff like that. And just come up with on a logical level. That would be kind of fascinating to watch.
I feel
these
sorry for
these professional arguers, these professional debaters, have to argue in favor of some of these insane policies.
I would hate to be in that position, though, because you've got to make arguments for really hurtful things.
But again, that's what I'm saying. It would be fascinating. Maybe not productive, fascinating.
In private, it might be a really good way to build. You wouldn't want to do it live because people are going to keep that video forever.
Right, yeah. But and if you ever wanted to get into any sort of position of power 20 or 30 years down the road, the cancel culture will come after you.
But it could be a good way of coming up with really good, pithy arguments and dissecting their argument and coming up with really good retorts by having someone act out and act their point of view. It would sharpen people's ability to take it on. It's just a weird experiment. I don't want to go to that. You have fun in Bonavista. I'm staying here.
So my idea of let's take the PPC's
hate,
and put it into a debate class and see what these people come up with. That's not for you.
I just don't fancy it. It just sounds uncomfortable.
But putting cats into blenders.
I didn't say that.
You didn't say turn them off.
I told our listeners they shouldn't do it.
That's true. All right. Yeah. That's fair enough. Yeah.
So, and they also shouldn't hate. So anyway, we're talking about the cream of the crop candidates that the PPC have selected.
To run?
Yeah, the cream of the crop, the absolute winners of society that they managed to scrape from the barrel of humanity.
I'm curious. You know what, Reese? Just a quick aside. Getting to know you as not only as a friend but as a professional in your field for the past number of years, I'd be curious because clearly you're against hate. Clearly you're against the policies that the PPC are putting out. However, that being said, if we had an opportunity to interview one of these members on our show, would you do it?
I think sunlight is the best disinfectant, as they say, but I just don't want to. I just feel dirty given airtime.
That's fair. Yeah. All right.
It's our show. We can do what the fuck we want. And I just don't want to.
I'd have three showers.
That's fine because it's a joke. These people are actually horrible.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to talk about the cream of the crop that they've selected.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is from pressprogress.ca. It's an article, and the headline is People's Party candidate designed shootout video game using cultural stereotypes and gay parades as targets.
So, say this again? What?
People's Party candidate designed shootout video game using cultural stereotypes and gay pride parades as targets.
Shootout video game?
So, essentially, it's like Doom. It's like a shooting game.
There's a fucking term for it. It's called first-person shooter video game.
Yeah, whatever.
The terminology,
I don't
correct.
Know. Yeah,
shootout
video game. I haven't played video games since Pong.
Well, the person writing the article could do, literally 10 seconds of research on Google.
Describe that candidate.
Oh, my God. He looks like a younger... No, not a younger. Who's that fucking guy in Brexit that's like a cartoon character running... the UK right now, or Britain, or whatever.
Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson. He looks like a cartoon character of Boris Johnson, who himself looks like a cartoon character.
Like a young Boris Johnson when he was young, and he's got a Make America Great hat on. He's doing the OK sign, which is a far-right signal.
Is that a far-right signal?
Yeah, the OK sign is one they do secretly do. And you use it in diving to say you're OK, but he's not diving. He's not wearing scuba gear. He's just being racist. And so this is Mario Greco. And he's a candidate in suburban Ontario. And so the culture shootout was basically you just shoot in minorities and stereotypes.
There's a video game that was created?
He created the video game.
Oh, so he's smart enough to program a video game, but not smart enough to know not to make that fucking video game?
Like exactly. Or to control the urge to make it.
Wow.
So, and he said he stands by his art. He said he actually... He defends the artistic merit of his game, and he said it was actually aimed to unite humanity. That's why he created this shooting game.
I mean, I got to say that's a really interesting argument.
He studied video game design at the University of Ontario Institute of Technology, and was a high school computer teacher as well.
I mean, okay, there's some.
Oh, no, no.
It
wasn't a first-person shooter. It was an arcade-style game. Sorry, okay, just to correct that.
Oh, fair enough.
I want to be accurate.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay. That's interesting. I don't condone what he does. But if one... How can I word this properly? Being a professional asshole, being someone who is evil... Okay, choosing to be evil, choosing to do evil acts, not truly, truly fucking evil. I mean, yeah, that does the case too, but like, I don't want to condone truly fucking evil acts either. But like, being evil, being horrible does band the world together in action more than if they don't,
You mean if someone's got really evil motives, but they present themselves nicely and they...
No, just evil acts will... garner action. Okay, it will get band people together. Okay, it will give the good people of the world something to band together about.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you need
evil people to make good people take action.
Yes, and it's weird that that's kind of true. Okay, and it's not always true. I'm sure there are good people who just sit around thinking of good things that they could do, and then they go and do those things. But evil people will garner action from good people, if that was Mario Greco's fucking purpose for making this video game.
Basically, he made it because he wanted all the nice people to hate him and unite in hate against him.
And if that is true, if that's genuine...
It's not, though.
If that was genuinely true, he's like, you know what? Fucking point your fingers at me and call me a bastard and let's, you know, just say what a horrible human being I am and what an awful video game I've made because this will band people together to talk about racism and to talk about equality more than was currently happening. That's kind of next level fucking genius.
But that's not what this is.
Isn't that what he just said?
No.
I literally thought you just read that.
No, he said it was to unite humanity, but it's not. He's just shooting people.
It's a horrible thing, and we're talking about how horrible it is.
Yeah, but also,
and how it shouldn't happen.
But also, he's wearing a Make America Great hat, and he's doing the racist symbol. I don't think he's evil on the outside, secretly good genius trying to unite people against him. He's just a dick.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah.
So he claimed his...
Yeah, because...
So he claims his game is meant to end global war and discrimination, and some people were offended.
It was what?
He said that it was meant to end global war and discrimination, and some people were offended. But he said when you shoot those people, they didn't die. They were taken to a place called Happy Land. They're beams of light. Nobody's dying. They're being sent to Happy Land because the goal was to end war and discrimination.
So that when you're shooting, you're not shooting them with bullets. You're shooting them with rainbows.
No, but you are shooting minorities and a pride parade in an effort to end discrimination. Apparently, this is just confusing and weird. And he's just obviously trying to defend
himself. He's trying to get a rile out of people.
He's trying to defend an undefendable position, essentially. And his other quote was, it includes harmless racist jokes. I don't think any racist jokes are harmless, but yeah. And the game was intended to make a joke about how ridiculous cultural stereotypes are, so we can all laugh about it together and move on with our lives. And then he also tweeted saying the number one ethnicity most bothered by happy culture shootouts, strangely enough, were white people. Because he
that is ironic if that's true.
Because he asked everyone. And that's how he came up with that data.
took him a while.
Yeah, yeah. He should know. He can immediately identify everything everyone is feeling. He's got Cerebro, but just for picking up a fence.
Oh, golly, Jesse. I've got some great news. We've had a fresh delivery from the ad man.
Gee whiz, Reese. Really? From the ad man?
Smell them. They're fresh.
Ads.
People can believe what they want of pieces of art. These days, anything could be perceived as racist, especially racist things, I would like to add.
It just sounds like you made this to get a rile out of people, out of people.
I know.
To rile up people and get a rise out of them.
There the game also had an Israel level, and a faculty member from the school strongly recommended he remove Jewish stereotypes from the game.
But that's the only thing to remove from the game.
What a friend. He was like, no, get rid of it immediately. Don't have any religious content. I know that could be very, very touchy. Also, racism and homophobia can be touchy. But you left that in.
Right.
And also he said that the society is not in a state to accept unconventional games. He draws parallels with a game called Super Columbine Massacre RPG, which allows players to simulate the 1999 Columbine High School Massacre.
Did he make that game?
That left 13 dead and 21 injured. No, he describes that as a legitimate art form, and he was inspired by that to make this game. That's how fucked up we're talking. Anyway, so you can vote for him if you live in suburban Ontario. He's your PPC candidate.
Jesus.
Cream of the crop.
I mean, he's clearly doing this to get a rise out of people. How do I put this? There's the extremely emotionally reactive culture, okay? And it feels like he's targeting them because almost like as a joke, okay? From what you said, his game does not include guns that shoot bullets at minorities. It's shooting rainbows at minorities. Beams of light.
That send them to Happy
Land. Right, because he couldn't do guns. He couldn't be directly offensive.
Yet he knew he had to get rid of the Israel level because it was anti-Semitic.
Right.
So he's undermined his own argument.
Well, no, I feel like he's trying to dance on a very fine line. We're not killing people with guns. We're shooting beams of light and sending them to Happy Land. And he's doing that because it's close enough to guns and it's close enough to killing, but it's not. And he can back that up and defend himself because he just wants to get a rise out of people. That's why he's doing this.
He wants people like us to talk about it.
Success.
But also it is a great opportunity to call him a penis. So
that's true.
Yeah. And
you're a
penis. Mario.
Mario, you're a penis.
You're a penis.
This is our retort. Yeah. Our very clear. You spent an entire time, a huge amount of time making a video game. We spent 5 seconds calling you a penis.
I'm going to make a video game called Super Mario Penis. His name's Mario.
Oh, that's a great. Oh, my God. But that's essentially making a video game saying that Mario has a super penis.
No. He's looking for it because he can't find it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. No, that's much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make a video game. Oh, God. Anyway, but I think that this... I think he's just quite troubled. And I think that he's...
Of course.
He's clearly being influenced by far-right stuff on the internet and this kind of culture and... there's another tweet where he said critical race theory is a cancer that needs to die. He's been very...
What is critical race theory?
Critical race theory is the teaching teaching people within the system, whether you're a police officer or a teacher or prison officer, how systematic racism works within that system.
Can you give an example?
A good example of that would be how the police in Canada treat Indigenous protesters compared to how they would treat white protesters.
Okay.
Even though they may not be, people might not be overtly racist as individuals. Systematically, there's proof that says we covered the episode where they shot 2,000 rounds of ammunition.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Killed a dog. Yeah. Whereas you look at the
anti- you mean this, when you say systematic, you mean the system. Like
the system they over police Indigenous protests. Mm-hmm. Whereas you look at the mask protests outside hospitals, mm-hmm. very little police there, and they let them carry on.
Yeah. Okay.
So systematic critical race theory would teach why that's happening. And the idea is to teach people in those systems why the system they're in is racist and how to identify the problems and educate people. And that's
so it's not an individual. It's not saying you're a police officer, therefore you're automatically racist.
No,
it's saying just the system that you are a part of
comes from a racist era in the past, and we're still living with the consequences of that structure that was built by people before us.
That sounds like an important discussion to have, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just teaching people that it's called a critical race theory. It's teaching people those theories and those ideas and educating people so they can go, so how can we as a department do things differently to address systematic racism? So the people like the Republicans in the US and a lot of people on the far right, they just think that it's
attacking them directly.
Attacking white people, essentially, rather than educating white people who predominantly are in positions of power and authority compared to minorities. So, so he's clearly been indoctrinated online by some of these dark places on the internet where people are radicalized by the far right, essentially. But therefore, he's allowed to run as a candidate for the PPC. And those are the kind of people that the PPC are drawn to.
You know, it's interesting. I had, there was a friend on Facebook a number of years back who was, who had an argument, or there was some sort of issue she was having with someone from the PPC. And it was kind of, I don't know, they were not having a great time with them. And
not like the fun liberals.
I misunderstood. I didn't really understand who the PPC was. I kind of heard of them at that time, but I didn't really know. And there was a lot of comments, a lot of anger in this thread. And I was... And I still am of the mind that we shouldn't just label, point fingers, and move on. Even if we have very strong emotional reactions, we should be more apt to listening and to discussing. And that's how we are going to dividing our country is not helping anybody. Just look at the states.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And so I misunderstood what they were saying. I thought they were saying the PC party. Progressive Conservatives Party, right? Which, like,
did you defend the PPCs?
I didn't defend them as much as I said. I kind of did. In it, yeah, like, yeah. I'm not for the Progressive Conservatives, right? But I was like, why? You know, I was like, I have friends who are in this party. I'm talking about the Progressive Conservatives,
yeah, yeah.
Right? I was like, I have conservative friends. I didn't say that. It's like, I have friends who are in this party, and like, I don't know why we can't, you know, sit down and talk things out with these people and just maybe hear what they have to say. And the hatred and the emotion, the vile, vile fucking hatred that flung my way for me suggesting having a conversation with people. And then I was like, where is all this hate coming from? And this is from my friend's friends who are, you know, far left. And I was like, what's going on? And then I had to reread everything. Like, oh, they think I'm talking about the PPC, not the PC. And I had to look up who the People's Party of Canada was. And they were so angry with me. And then I wrote and I'm like, oh, my bad. I didn't mean the PC. I didn't mean the PPC. I meant the PC. I misread it. And they were like, oh, it was a misunderstanding. And they were so fucking angry with me, but they couldn't continue to be angry with me because it was literally a misread typo, right? And but they wanted to still be angry with me. And to me, that's kind of funny. Like, it's there's this, like... People, even on the far left, people who are like being hurt and being, and I can understand why, because you're being hurt and you're being subjected to these horrible racism, to racism and to discrimination and inequality. And I get it. I do. But like, even in that moment, they didn't want to talk with me about what I wanted to talk about, which had nothing to do with what they thought I wanted to talk about. They just wanted to yell at me.
And is a hard tightrope, because you go, these people, like this candidate, for instance, like very hateful things, mm-hmm. you know, celebrating massacres and all this kind of stuff, you know, really dark stuff.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Really dark stuff. And they obviously have been radicalized and they obviously need help. So you don't want to like block all those people out completely, because you'd like to think there's hope that one day they can, you know, people do get reformed and come out at the other end going, you know, I was in a really dark place and mm-hmm. I found solace in this hateful content, and I found friendship online with these people and became part of it. That happens all the time, you know. And I think that how do you keep the door open for people who want to heal and kind of you know, be willing to educate and kind of understand the world in a new way, and where do you draw the line where you just shut people off because they're talking absolute nonsense?
So I have an answer to that, and it's very difficult for people to do, especially if you are being directly affected by hate, by racism, by inequality, by, you know, like this, it's very difficult to do. And it takes practice. Okay. And that is to listen to these people. And by listen, I do not mean believe what they have to say. I don't mean give them a platform for the world to hear. I just mean they want to be heard. People who are emotionally charged up on either side of the equation desperately want to be heard, right? And to just yell back at them never helps. It never ever helps. I had a friend who was a Trump supporter, and I'm like, I've known this guy for a very long time. And I asked him why. And he's like, I'll tell you why. And I just sat there and I listened to him for about half an hour. I didn't believe anything that he had to say, but I listened to him. And at the end of his spiel to me, he thanked me. He's like, Jesse, thank you for listening to me. You know, I didn't expect that. I'm like, no, you're welcome. You know, I came out the other end, not like, and we had a discussion. We had a more civil discussion about it afterwards, but like once. So like, yeah, these people who are probably greatly misinformed, you know, and are probably very hurting, and hurt people hurt others. People who are hurt tend to hurt other people. I've heard that a lot, and I believe that's to be true. If you have enough strength, mental and emotional strength, to listen to these people who are lashing out at the world and doing so in hateful, bigoted ways, if you know someone like this, who's an old friend or just someone in your circle of friends, and you have the strength to sit down and listen to them, that doesn't mean you have to believe what they have to say. Just let them feel heard. From that point on, then you are in a much, much stronger position to have a civil discussion where ideas can be exchanged and perhaps new ideas can be learned.
That's great. I didn't expect you to say that.
Thanks, man.
Well done. That's amazing. But it's true. I think that, like, it's so the reason they're so angry is they're so used to being shut down and shouted back at that they think they have to be so aggressive and throw these counter arguments. Once they run out of all that and they vented, just go. Anyway, let's talk about that. the other scary thing I wanted to raise is the fact that the PPC have been polling higher than the Green Party.
That is terrifying.
So there's a sizable,
but not surprising. Green Party has not had a great track record. I think it's like marketing themselves.
It's been up to like 8% in the polls.
Well, also, I mean, it kind of
which if you were going to get,
if we're talking about straight up marketing, I mean, the PPC is going to have way more like power as far as what's the word I'm good for? Like, oh my God, did you hear what this person said? Like, shock value.
Well, right? also as well, like the thing you find, like Brexit, a lot of people came out to vote for Brexit who didn't normally vote. They were a lot of non-voters who'd never voted in their lives came forward to vote.
Wow.
Because it was something that had never been talked about in the main political kind of discourse before. And then suddenly someone introduced it. So what you find is, especially with the anti-vax movement and the pandemic, is that some of those people, you know, Maxime Bernier has been the anti-vax politician and the most high-profile anti-vax politician, who was once a serious front runner for the leadership of the Conservative Party. So he's a very nationally known figure and has become a rallying point as an individual for all these disparate far-right anti-vax movements. And it's probably bringing people out of the woodwork who haven't voted because they believe in all these conspiracies, and he's there going, yeah, I'm on your side. So what you find, I'm not saying that he's going to win and bring enough voters out to vote, but it's like a rallying cry, essentially, for people who used to be on the fringes. They now have a mainstream candidate, or someone who used to be a mainstream candidate,
yeah,
on their side.
And just to kind of go back to my point, but like, I'll go on to Instagram here in Nova Scotia when Dr. Strang makes an announcement, or our new premier makes an announcement about, you know, vaccine passports or what have you. And it's, you know, I'll read the comments, and the comments is just this giant angry shouting area. And there's anti-vaxxers who come on and call everyone sheep. And then there's people who respond to those anti-vaxxers, calling them fucking idiots and shit like that. This doesn't help anything.
No. And also, like, shouting at people online.
Oh, that's kind of stupid in and of itself, honest to God. It's not going to help a thing.
If you spend all evening arguing with people on Facebook, yeah, you've wasted a whole evening.
You really have.
Go on Amazon Prime, watch The Boys, or go on Netflix and watch, I don't know. What's good on Netflix at the moment, Jesse?
I'm watching, as I said, I'm watching New Girl, which is old.
On New Girl?
Watch
New
Girl. It's fantastic. It's really fun. It's a great show.
I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. But anyway, just that's better than arguing online, because nobody wins.
No.
You just go to bed angry and going, oh, they replied while I was asleep, so they had the final word. Yeah. Anyway, this has been fun.
Yeah.
And depressing. And so if
the nature of our show.
Look up the interesting backstory of your PPC candidate locally, and chances are they might believe and say things that are scary,
you know. We had a call to action where we asked people to leave a review and then take a screenshot of that review and then send us an email of the screenshot of that review and then ask us for a personalized ringtone. That didn't work out. That was a lot of work asking people to do. So I feel like we could simplify that. I just want to see if personalized ringtones is something that people – in the show notes of this particular episode, we're just going to leave our email address to click on.
Yeah.
Okay. And just – so like it's in whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Okay. You don't have to leave a review. It's just going to be right in the show notes. Just scroll down, click on the email and say, I want a personalized ringtone. And we'll send you one. That's it.
Yeah. Perfect.
We're not even asking for anything in return. I just want to see if this is something that people want.
Do you want ringtones?
Do you want a ringtone?
If you want a ringtone, we'll do your ringtone.
Yeah. That's it. It's that simple. Yeah.
Cool. And also 20th, go and vote and then go and exercise democratic right and then join us.
Yes.
For a live stream covering the we'll count all the votes personally and we'll be doing it live, and there'll be chicken and greasy fingers and it'll be wonderful.
And again, if you want to sponsor your product or company, just let us know and we'll do it.
Yeah, just dump a load of stuff at my office and we'll drink it and eat it and wear it. And
totally will.
Yeah. Even if it's experimental, like tanning cream, we'll put it on live.
Do you have a bar of soap that you sell? We'll just wash ourselves with it live on the air. Like,
we'll test your products. This is the miracle bar of soap that doesn't sting your eyes. We'll do it live on air.
Reese will put soap in his eyes.
I've rubbed miracle soap in my eyes.
Yeah.
Someone should invent that.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Bye. God.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.